ready. And just to make sure, Adam, are you still on?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Andy?
Yep.
Heather?
Yes.
Joy?
Yes.
And Brody?
Yes.
All right. Thanks, guys. So we will start our regularly planned commission meeting at 7 p.m. Thursday, August 20th, 2020. And we will start with a Pledge of Allegiance. We're actually lucky enough to have Kip Webster here. If you just want to walk up to the podium, everybody's only going to hear you. So Kip Webster will be offering the Pledge of Allegiance for us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much, Mr. Webster. And we do have a full quorum. Do we have any conflicts of interest from the Planning Commission on any of the items offered today? All right, seeing none, we'll then go to item 2.4, which is approval of minutes for the July 16th, 2020 Planning Commission, and look for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve item 2.4 for the Planning Commission Planning Commission minutes for July 16th, 2020.
Thank you, Heather. All in favor? Second by Lauren, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, guys. We'll move on to item 3.1, which is administrative item. It's a request for a conditional use for the proposed rodeo trails to reroute an existing trail and build three new mountain bike trails. The applicant is a city on this one, and we'll turn to city staff.
All right. So I'll make sure I'm not muted. Okay. So again, these are the rodeo trails. This is up above Black Ridge. The city is the applicant. The city came to you several months ago and kind of talked to you about these proposed trails. So now they're on for actual approval. Again, this is the site plan of where the trails are. So you can just see the edge of Black Ridge Pond there. And these are the mountain bike trails that come up there. Joe Zimmerman with the Parks Department is on the line. He should be able to answer any questions you have, if he's still on. I think he is. Should be able to answer any questions that you have about this. They did have a neighborhood meeting, but it is not noticed for Planning Commission, so it's not a public hearing tonight, but they have held a neighborhood meeting.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, is the camera working?
My camera's working. We can see you.
Okay, sorry. My computer's acting a little weird with me tonight. So yeah, these are the rodeo trails. We finally, thanks to COVID, we're finally able to get these going again. We're looking at essentially making access easier and making some more sustainable trails. There's some pretty steep grades coming up out of Black Ridge parking lot, and what's labeled as the Mutton Bustin' Trail is the current existing trail. There's some pretty steep rocky sections that folks have some challenges on. So we're looking at making a beginner-friendly learning area for young mountain bikers, new riders just getting into the sport, and improving some access to the rest of our trails by taking out some of the steep grades. And the stuff in red, we're looking at closing down, making cleaner intersections so they're more sustainable and easier for people to navigate.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Are there any questions for Joe from the Planning Commission?
My only question is on the Mutton Bustin', the two-way trail that has hiking and bike. What do you guys do for separation there?
So what's going to happen, Mutton Bustin' and all the green colored trails, Mutton Bustin', Buckaroo, and Weehaw, those are all going to be designated as green, downhill only mountain bike trails. The multi-use, multi-direction trail will be the new blue Black Ridge Trail. What we're going to do for the downhill trails is we're going to have like called a chicane, a pretty low-speed feature that makes you almost get off your bike to go around a hard turn to get into these trails, trail features. There's going to be lots of signs. It's going to be kind of our beginner style riding area, so there's going to be riding tips, user etiquette suggestions all the way down to teach young riders how to use the trails. So it'll be very clearly marked that this is a biking only trail network to help people not go down it.
Thank you.
And Joe, is this parking at Black Ridge, is it the only parking access?
It's the only main parking access. There is some parking access from, I think it's Summit Circle, the neighborhood just below it, but that's not really a whole lot because it's a neighborhood. So yeah, Black Ridge is the main parking area.
That's kind of what I was going to bring up, just the access where people like to get up early and go do these types of activities. Is there any change in like the times you're going to open the gates or anything around there?
At this time, I don't think we're planning on changing gate opening times, since you can, some of the neighborhoods, you can't, some folks do ride just from their homes in the area to the park area. There was some talk about that in the neighborhood meeting, and Anthony seemed open to maybe trying to look at it. The only issue we have with that is staffing, getting folks on to come in earlier to open gates and things like that.
Okay, thanks.
I think this is something similar that we kind of just discussed over with the other trail. Was parking, people wanting to be able to access it early morning, late night. I kind of think we already addressed that a little bit as far as what parks, their view was on that. And I know that, I don't know if you guys have been up to Black Ridge recently, but they started to reserve parking for trail access. So I thought that that was pretty cool that they're doing that to help with the parking issues that they have up there for the trails.
And I will bring it up again because I brought up in the past. It may be something we need to look at with charging for parking up there. I know down in Springville, they have the reservoir there and they give one pass to each resident. You can go into the city building and get a pass based off of showing that you're a resident of the community, and then they charge $10 parking for everyone else that goes into that area. It's about the same size, and it was busy, but they definitely have controlled the parking a lot more because of that. And so that still may be an option that needs to be brought up to the city council if it hasn't been.
Chris, my concern with that though is we're trying to bring people from the outside to the trails. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying we want to bring them to the reservoir because it's full, but we want these trails to be a destination. You know, and if we're giving out parking passes here, I'm more concerned about a lack of parking in general and not limiting to the stuff we want to bring people into the area for.
Thank you.
I agree we want to make it a destination for others, but I still think we need to have a recoup cost for it. And so I actually kind of agree with Chris.
Yeah.
Or some quick way to recoup that cost. I don't know if it's go get it from City Hall, but some, you know, no different than you do when you go up American Fork Canyon. We all have to pay to use those activities. And so I think we need to start doing that so we can offer to maybe have our staff go and open the parking areas if necessary sooner and things like that.
To add on to what Lauren said, I feel like there's a lack of parking in general, even just for residents in the area. So often you see on like the city's Facebook page that the reservoir is full, try back later. And so trying to see what we can do maybe to add more parking would be a good idea.
And another thing to think about is we will probably have another 50,000 residents in the future. And so there will be a pretty good amount of population just in this area for use on it. So, but that's just a, that's just another thought. I'm sure that the parks and rec group can bring up to the city council and just say the planning commission recommends it needs to be looked into in further detail. And there is a good example already down in Springville of them doing it successfully. So, and it was busy. It was still busy down there. So
I believe that they're actually doing research right now on it. They're taking all of the demographic information. Like when you go into Black Ridge, they're asking for your zip code. And I think that they're trying to gather that information and find out who's using it. And I'm not sure how they're going to apply that, but I think it will be interesting to see, you know, how those results come back and if they decide to start charging for parking.
I'll take a wild guess that we have a probably higher than normal percentage of Riverton residents using it.
But I think that Riverton pays into the Black Ridge Reservoir.
Okay.
You're right.
All right. Are there any other questions from the Planning Commission? Then we'll look for a motion on this item.
I move to approve item 3.1 with staff's recommending.
I'll second that. Brody.
Second by Brody. And we'll call for a vote. Adam?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Heather?
Yes.
Joy?
Yes.
And Brody?
Yes.
Thank you. And that passes. And then we'll move on to item 3.2. This is on for a public hearing as well. And we'll turn to city staff on this item.
Okay. So again, this is three items, but 3.2, 3.3, and 3.4 are really all the same discussion. Typically a subdivision amendment, which is what this is not a public hearing, but because of the nature of this conversation, we did schedule it as a public hearing and notified the neighbors. So this first item 3.2 is an amendment for the Harriman Corners subdivision, which was required to construct, let me get there, a precast wall along the entire perimeter basically of the subdivision. You can see where it's shown here. And again, this aerial is a little bit older, but the applicant is asking to not have to build the whole wall. So this is the part that's currently constructed, is here and then along here. And that is actually not accurate. I can see that now. It just stops about right there, just next to the Ace Hardware. So it is built here and on the north side, but it does not continue around the detention pond. So the applicant is asking to remove that condition to build it around this portion of the detention pond. There is a current existing three-rail vinyl fence there that's been there for several years. And here's a picture of what's currently in that location. So you can see that. And again, it goes around the entire pond there. This is just a detention pond. So again, item 3.3 and 3.4 are essentially the same thing because this was required as a condition for lot 4, a condition for lot 7, and a condition of the subdivision. They have to ask for to modify all three conditions of approval. So you'll need to make three separate motions, but again, it's really all the same decision. So again, there's a picture there of the where the wall ends and then where the vinyl fence is around the pond. So again, we did notify the neighbors for this, for a public hearing. You also have the statement from the applicant that I emailed to you. And I believe we have a couple of the applicants on the line for this item.
Bren, this is Dave Murdoch. I don't have it. Can you hear me?
We can, Dave.
Okay. I don't have a webcam, so you can't see me, but I've been on since 7 o'clock and I just want you to know I'm here.
Okay, Dave. Bryn, do you have anything else, or should we ask the applicant for any additional information?
Nope, that's all I've got.
All right, then at this time, the applicant, will you please state your name and then just share any additional information on this item?
Well, my name is David Murdoch. I'm with North Point Construction, and I am the applicant. I am the developer slash builder on some of, not all of the projects, but I did submit a proposal which basically requested that we not be required to continue the fence there. And I'd kind of like to go back and give a little history on why the fence ended where it did. Is it all right if I take a minute and do that?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. When we first made application for the subdivision, we were told that we had to put a fence around the residential area. The line that I'm seeing right there that shows the line all the way around the detention pond, I was never aware of. I went in when we decided, or when we were ready to put the fence in, I didn't arbitrarily stop it right there. I actually, and up till that point in time, I had been working with the engineering department on this issue. I know that the planning and zoning required it, but as far as the install and the work that had to be done, I was working with engineering. And so I made an appointment. I went into engineering and I met with a representative of the engineering department, and I asked them whether or not I needed to, or where I needed to stop the fence. And the discussion or that we had was that I just needed to take it up to the end of the residential area. And that's why it ended where it did. I was not aware that there was any additional requirement on that until we made application on lot 7 to build the subway and the tight, where the subway and tight cleaners is today. And then at that point in time, an issue came up that the fence had not been completed. Up until that time, at least in my mind and from my perspective, I thought the fence had been completed where it was required to be completed. And so I just want you to know that I just didn't arbitrarily stop it there. But there was a reason I stopped it there. And I did have that meeting with engineering, and it was told by them that I could stop it. That's where, that it only needed to go to that point. Now, granted, I'm still, what looks like I'm still 5 or 6 feet short. And so in my proposal, I've indicated that I would be willing to make that correction. And in conversation with a number of people, and you have my email, I'm sure, in front of you, that I've indicated that I would be willing to perhaps install another gate so that there was a capacity to move in and out of the southeast portion of the retention area without having to crawl under or climb over the fence. And I've agreed that I would be willing to do that. And this was a request that was made by some of the neighbors that I visited. I visited with several of the neighbors to try to get a feel for what we could do. I believe that Mr. Webster is there. It's his home that you see in the picture right now. And he did agree. He did want to make sure that that fence continued so that it went at least past his property. And he did, he did like my plan, but also wanted to know if we could put an extra access gate into, somewhere along that south fence so that people could pass through there without, again, having to climb over or jump over the fence.
All right. Thank you so much for your comments. Is there, and actually at this point, I'll ask the Planning Commission if there's any questions real quick, and then we'll open the public hearing.
I don't have any except for, is it a public hearing?
There is a public hearing on item 3.2.
Okay.
Yeah, we noticed this as a public hearing so that the neighbors would be notified, because otherwise, technically it doesn't need to be a public hearing, but we thought the neighbors should be notified.
I agree the neighbors should be notified. I just was curious about the public hearing piece.
All right. Then at this point, we will open the public hearing, and Wendy does have some remarks on this one. Okay.
I received one comment in the email from David and Lisa Dobbins. It says, "Dear Planning Commissioners, thank you for your willingness to serve our community. I do not agree with the proposal to remove the condition to build a precast wall along the property line. The wall will not destroy the open space as the applicant claims any more than all the traffic, noise, and light from the development has already destroyed the park-like setting. The cars shine their headlights into the park. The ACE building shines a very bright light into our neighborhood. The only option we will agree to is to have mature evergreens planted on the edge of the park to hide the traffic noise and lights. With a cash bond held by the city for 1 year to ensure the trees survive, with the landscaping plan submitted to the city for review and approval. And the lighting on the ACE building needs to be turned off every night when the store closes. The applicant knew what the requirements were and can either renegotiate all the conditions or live with the existing conditions. Letting the applicant make the change as he is requesting is to place a higher priority on someone that does not live in this community, than the residents who suffer the impacts of his development. Thanks again for making Harriman a great place for his residents and ensuring that our high standards continue to be met. Sincerely, David and Lisa Dobbins."
Thank you so much. And we do have some people here, so we'll see if they have any comments as well. And you can just come up to the podium and please state your name.
I'm Kip Webster. I'm the house that's closest to, that's right there on the end. You can see there the closest house to the picture. And I talked to Mr. Murdoch and he proposed what he said of at least bringing the fence past my property. We were kind of disappointed when they cut it short, that few feet. We were kind of concerned about our kids kind of going under the fence, or especially with that, with the ACE hardware right there. So we would be sad, me personally, I would be satisfied if they at least put the fence past my property line. But we had also agreed to with at least having some type of trees as a barrier to the parking lot and to like the American Burger on the other side. And then potentially to another cutout for a fence to access those businesses as well.
All right. Thank you so much. And if you want to wipe it down real quick, and we do have one other person that looks like he has some comments as well. Thank you, Kip.
Hello, my name is Eric Rasmussen. I am just west of Kip Webster's house, and I think at first I didn't really have much of an opinion. But I do think that Dave brings up some good points as far as having trees, because having all that light come in from the businesses is, it distracts from, you know, having a nice neighborhood. And so, I mean, I would propose that they also do put some trees in that area. And as far as, I don't think that a wall, a 6-foot wall, is necessary on the wall that would be going running along the business section, or I guess closest to that American Burger. But you know, those are my thoughts.
Thank you so much. Do you mind just wiping it down? All right, there's no one else can speak unless Wendy has any more. And if she doesn't have any, we will close the public hearing at this time and turn to the Planning Commission for additional remarks on this.
Yeah.
So I'll go first.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brody, I want to hear you. Go for it.
Okay. My thoughts about it, I think it's a good transition with the detention pond to the businesses. I know the precast wall is something we like to do around residential to commercial. I know it's, you know, an element for protection in this situation. I would agree with the residents that, like, light noise, I think that needs to be addressed. I like the idea of using natural barriers instead of putting a precast wall around something that already has a buffer between zones. So for me, my thoughts about it are, I think you should extend the precast wall past that resident's property line, but I would prefer that they use natural barriers like trees and then a gate to put through there so that people can access it. I mean, I kind of frown upon the precast wall where there's no access for people that live right there to get to the businesses by walking, where they have to get into their car and drive to those businesses because there is a precast wall. So those are my thoughts about it. I did drive by it personally and looked at the situation and what the buffer is. I think it's significant with the additional, you know, trees and other things that could be added. But I just feel like the precast wall creates a fortress around all of our commercial and retail and our residential. Those are my thoughts.
So for me, since I was the one that made a motion on all of these, this is Adam Jacobson. I know we talked about this a ton. I know we were very clear as far as I actually remember actually saying I wanted to extend all the way through to the past the subway and still allow for the trail access that is over at the old subway location. And when I say the past the subway, I mean the old subway location. And staff said we could not do that, so that's where it stopped, where it did. I also want to point out that some of the concern that I have with this is a long-term decision. And if any of the Planning Commission remembers, as we head towards the Rose, Holiday Oil that is down kind of by the Real Salt Lake Stadium, what they had proposed is that they were going to put a detention pond for their own stormwater right behind their gas station, and that was going to be a buffer enough to the current residential. And so I remember we all fought diligently and discussed that and showed that it truly should be a precast wall around here. As far as the light coming out of the Ace Hardware, I know I've talked to Bryn about this several times and they're holding the final approval permit on that. But the Ace Hardware store's lighting was originally, and that whole area was supposed to be a landscape only, no storage. And being that I frequent that area because I live in this area and I've actually used this detention pond to walk through to get to there, I have noticed that they do not store it as per our current conditions. So I believe that the city needs to get involved drastically and enforce the precast wall as outlined.
Thank you, Adam. Any other remarks from the Planning Commission?
Yeah, this is Andy. A little bit more to what Brody had to say about some natural barriers and stuff. Just looking at this, I'm wondering if it would be acceptable to the Planning Commission as well to have the wall go along the Webster property, the east property line of the Webster. Would that be a sufficient barrier enough and separation from exactly right there where it's being highlighted to work with the Webster family? Property owners there and have that, because I kind of agree with Brody, there is a good separation. I agree there needs to be more separation than just the three rail fence. So I'm wondering if a good compromise here would be to just put that precast wall along that property line and still leave everything else open. Thoughts there?
I think some of the difficulty with that, because I did think about that earlier, and that was in the pre-work meeting where I said, I'm not going to open that can and start talking about it, because that's not the property of this actual developer.
Right.
And so I looked at it from the perspective of that's probably something we don't want to set a precedence on, is having them build a fence on someone else's property in that sense. And so that's why I didn't bring up that. And that was my only concern there. I will tell you, because I can understand where Brody is coming from and Eve and Andy. If you ever go to the park that's over by the cemetery, it has a precast wall around it. Mm-hmm. And it gets a lot of use, probably more than if it was open, because it tends to provide a little bit more safety for the children, for the community when they're within that area. Because right now there is a lot of individuals from the commercial that can park right there, and it's not somewhere I would probably let my children go out and play with 25 other cars parked around it in the commercial entity. Just doesn't feel like overwhelmingly inviting and safe area in that sense. The other thing that I'm worried about, and I appreciate the remarks from some of the residents here, is I think the precast wall has been designated by the city as more of a safety factor than anything else. That oftentimes the precast wall separates these type of uses, because you will have 50 or 100 or however many people come through these commercial type entities, and most of the time crimes occur because of opportunity. And it could be as easy as the unfortunate resident's child leaving their bicycle in their backyard and somebody jumping the fence, grabbing it and leaving. And so I think a lot of times the precast walls serve as a buffer of protection in multiple ways. And so, at least in my opinion, and I understand all the reasoning behind it and understand why they came in, and I even understand why some of the planning commissions voicing opinions of it's enough of a buffer. But I look at it from a perspective of anyone who parks in commercial can be in his backyard in a minute and a half, and that's not something that I feel like is something we should allow to happen. And that's, I think, a lot of ways why this ordinance was put in place. I do, with Adam and some other comments, and also from the residents, I'd like the ordinance, the city, those that enforce the ordinances, to double check the that everything was met by the commercial with trees and everything like that, because I know we were very careful to try to put things in place to protect the residents against the added light and the other things that occur because of commercial for these homeowners. I believe it probably is just the trees are not, they're still little. As they grow, they'll become sufficient buffers, I believe. But it would be nice to just double check and make sure that really is the case. Those are some of my opinions on this. I do understand the perspectives from both sides, but I do think that this ordinance and providing the buffer of the precast wall makes sense. And I do think it needs to be put in place in this instance.
Yeah, I feel strongly against it. I just feel like, I don't know. I have a vinyl fence right around my house. Someone could jump over my fence. I get that, you know, the precast is nice for noise, for those types of uses. For me in this area, the transition I think is nice, and the access for the residents to the commercial if they were to put a gate in. I guess you could do a precast wall and still have that type of access, but I hate where, you know, businesses are for people, and then we surround them with a large wall and prevent people from having walkability to places like this, where you have, you know, places, restaurants to go eat, and it's not, you know, large manufacturing or anything like that. It's, you know, places where I would walk if I lived in this neighborhood to go use those services. So I want to make sure we don't, you know, put up a precast wall and lose that ability to get to those places.
That's so, Brody, just so you're aware,
can we get an aerial view, Adam, when you talk about this, because you're familiar with the, because I think
I use the access all the time, and I actually live in the subdivision up in it. So that was one question I was going to ask, is how we made it a public hearing is because there is more people than just the current people that live right next to this detention pond because of the safety factor. I know my kids go to this detention pond to play with my dogs and stuff like that. So what I want to say is, as you go towards the subway, you can kind of see the trash, the old subway. There is a trash area right there. There actually is a trail access right to the south of that.
Okay.
Down right there, there's a hole in the old three-row fence, and that's because back when they approved our subdivision that I live in, this was done by Richmond American. It was pre-commercial, and it was actually built about the same time the subway was, and they forgot to put in that original wall, and there was no trail to the north as we did the Harriman Plaza project. And so that was a mistake that was missed with the city back then, because they didn't actually have it in ordinance to require it against commercial. So that's why it's not done already. Additionally, we've had this discussion many a times about that we have to have our standards in place. And the concern that I still see with this is we really developed and worked hard to really enforce our commercial. And even though we want to support and promote commercial, we still have to have good buffering. And I still think, I remember when we approved the Grease Monkey, I actually required the wall to be installed all the way to here, and everybody was upset and it was unfair. But because, and we're actually, I think everybody will remember that I've been trying to discuss that we need to change our ordinance for any subdivision it needs to affect. And recently we just did one up north, kind of where Lauren lives. And we put in a 5-acre fence for a 1-acre lot 7-Eleven, and it was all based off of this mistake. I think we need to continue to remedy it. Using our open space as a buffer is not the only solution. If anything, they should have a precast wall and more trees along their property behind the burger place and the Roxbury. But I just don't understand why we would adjust this. There's no benefit to the community. If anything, it's a detriment. So I'm ready to make a motion whenever everybody else is at peace.
First, any other comments from the Planning Commission?
I'll just wait till the end of the meeting to state. I'd just like to talk about this more and just other ways. Not that we shouldn't put precast walls, but that we have walkability within these areas is my opinion.
And Brody, I think that's the balance that we're trying to, that's the hard thing to strike, is because we have to protect the neighborhood, because it's not just, because we do want walkability, but then we're the noise, you've got the lighting. I mean, that in a commercial area like that, those lights are going to hit those neighbors, and there's no distance to me that's going to buffer the light.
You can't make a 20, 30 foot wall.
So. Brody, I agree with you on the walkability, but to me, the walkability is there's a trail that we need to get to. That's city property. The city, if anywhere, we just approved a bike trail up the mountain. We should be building small little trails like that to make it so that it's walkability. And yes, you have to go around, but technically from an egress and ingress rules and laws, that doesn't mean you get free access to the entire commercial lot to walk around and do whatever. So, I mean, we didn't plan on sidewalk at the back of those the back of those properties. And so I'll be honest.
Great point.
Yep. I'll be honest, I've driven my mountain bike across through the subway, hopped the curb by the burger place and gone to the hardware store. And there is no walkability behind the buildings. Technically, I should be going to the front of the building and walking down, and we don't have very good connectivity. And I know we talked about that in the initial discussion, is we kind of missed that because we potted out this project to before we actually put in requirements. And so I think by changing this, we're kind of missing our bigger problem, which is we should have put in all of these requirements, including the sidewalk. There still isn't sidewalk across the entire 5600 West. That should have all been pre-first subdivision. It would have went all the way around the entire thing, just like we just did by that 7-Eleven. And so I think by doing this, we're actually going against that. And that's why I'm trying to push it, is because I feel like we're almost going backwards.
Completely agree with that, Adam. Great point.
Yeah, good points. I agree. I just like other things that are more natural would be my suggestion as we talk about this more.
It's definitely nice to have open fields, Brody, and I agree with that. I just, in my mind, I'm more worried about protecting the residents in this area. And in this case, I just don't like the idea of cars coming in and out of that all day long and being able to park 10 feet from someone's backyard that actually you go through a fence. You don't have to go over it even because it's the two-panel fence. I just don't view it as very safe. And so you said you had a 6-foot vinyl fence. That's even different than what they have right now. And so
we can hop it in about 2 seconds. So I did want to actually say to Bryn, I do think we need to look into what we required for the burger place on the landscaping, because if you remember, there was going to be a hospital there at one time, and we really beefed up the requirements on landscaping. It was kind of like one of those emergency room only. And we really beefed up the discussion on building a better buffer of landscaping. And I swear, can't remember exactly how we improved it, but I remember really talking about the wall and landscaping on the commercial side, not in the detention pond, so that it blended the wall, so it wasn't this obtrusive wall. Now I don't remember if we included that, but I would actually like you to look at the Ace Hardware and that whole area right there, because I know we really talked about that.
The only one I don't remember, Adam, is the VASA, what the requirements were on the back side of the VASA for trees. That's the only one I can't remember. I do remember
around that they went with a better architecture, and so that's where we did allow. Remember, we've made them carry up the wings.
The wrapping around it. That makes sense.
I wish Jackson was here to remember the exact word that we used, but we carried it up higher so that, because it just didn't make sense, because the trees would never hide that big of a building. Yeah. But we were worried about the light pollution. Also, there was never supposed to be storage there. It was supposed to. It was proposed. If anybody actually goes back to the record, they will see
a garden area.
And so they should shut off the lights, and that shouldn't be a problem. But I have never seen a tree in that Ace Hardware. So I do think our city staff, I'm really going to ask you, Bryn, to go look at those, because I don't think we're complying with our intent or our discussion or the motions and the approvals.
And I would say you're probably right and wrong about some of it and all of it. All of the approval letters are in your packet. And trust me, I went and listened to every one of these meetings to verify the motions, especially on the wall, because I wanted to be clear about what you guys were requiring. On the Ace, we did require, and I remember because they didn't originally install it, and we had to go back and have them install all the evergreen trees, and there are trees. So we worked long and hard with Ace on getting all their landscaping in. So I would just bet that theirs is. But I will check the other one.
What about the lights, though? I kind of agree. I can't remember who said it, but you know, it's the landscaping.
They're with the light ordinance, and I mean, they definitely meet the requirements there. I think the thing is the trees have not developed. They're small trees, and that's really where the buffer was going to be. Is as the trees grow, it becomes a buffer between the properties, and I think that's the biggest thing that's not occurred yet. Is, I mean, they get a 10-foot tree, and we need a 20-foot tree there. And so
guys, I understand what you're saying, but the light from it's only underneath their storage. If they just shut it off, it wouldn't be a problem. It carries all the way to the trail past all of these houses. We're not talking a little bit. It carries throughout that whole neighborhood down there. Like, you can walk down there and you can see everywhere. So that's what I'm saying. I think we're missing that part, is it they just aren't shutting off their lights at night. Okay. That's the only issue with the light issue, other than vehicle traffic.
Okay.
They were required to submit a photometric plan, but we can double check that and see what that looked like.
All right. Thank you, Bryn. I will look for a motion at this time from the Planning Commission.
I would, this is Adam. I would like to, sorry, I clicked off my packet. I'm trying to find the number.
And again,
3.2 motions.
So
can I do it all at the same time, or one individual?
No, you have to make three separate motions.
Three separate motions. because it's three separate applications, so.
Bryn, do you want us to go back through each item, or are we just going to go one motion on this?
Only the first one was a public hearing, so there's no reason you have to have, you know, you can just do three motions if you want to.
Okay. Just want to make sure you're okay with that. All right.
The way I would word this is I would move to reject the approval of item 3.2. Is that clear?
Move to deny it.
I move to deny 3.2.
All right. Motion by Adam.
Second.
A second.
We'll give the second. Was that Heather or Joy?
Joy.
Joy. Okay. Second by Joy. So we'll call for a vote on that item. And we'll go with Brody.
No.
Joy.
Yes.
Heather.
Yes.
Andy.
Yes.
Lauren.
Yes.
And Adam.
Yes.
And so that motion was to deny with a vote of 5-1. And then we'll move on to item 3.3, looking for a motion on this item.
I move to deny item 3.3.
I'll second.
Motion by Adam and.
I'll second it, Chris.
A second by Lauren. Sorry about that, guys. And we'll call for a vote on that one, and we'll start with the other side. Adam?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Heather?
Yes.
Joy?
Yes.
And Brody?
No.
And so that one was denied with a vote of 5-1. And then we'll move on.
Adam, can I just jump in here?
Yes, go ahead.
Before you make the last motion, Adam, maybe in the motion on this one, can you specify your reasons for denying this request?
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
This is Chase. I agree with what Bryn said. Just in case the applicant has any questions or decides to appeal, we'll have a record of the denial.
Okay. Yep. No worries at all.
Do we need to go back on the other two items?
Do that for all of them? I can if you want.
Because they're all related, you could do it in one fell swoop.
Okay.
So we'll look for a motion on item 3.4, Adam.
I move to deny item 3.4 on the grounds that it does not comply with our ordinance. It doesn't allow for separation between different types of uses. It doesn't provide for the safety of the community to ensure that there is protection between adjoining uses. It also does not allow for light and commercial use to not be impacted by the neighborhood and surrounding area.
Motion by Adam.
A second.
A second, and I'm sorry, was that Joy or Heather?
Heather.
Heather, okay. And then we'll call for a vote. Brody?
No.
Joy?
Yes.
Heather?
Yes.
Andy?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
And Adam?
Yes.
And item 3.4 was denied with a vote of 5-1. And then we'll move on to item 4, which is just the chair and any commission comments. I don't know, Brody, if you still had additional comments you want to make at this point.
Yeah, I'd just like to review just our condition for precast wall. My thoughts about it. I think there's other ways that we can create barriers between different uses, and I just kind of hate that that's our go-to for different uses when they're next to each other, but I get it. In some areas it makes sense. That's just my thoughts about it.
And Brody, question, what areas in particular are you thinking, commercial and residential, or are you thinking other uses? Because if I remember correctly, the precast wall is really specific to the uses between residential and like light industrial or commercial or things like that. Is that correct, Bryn? You still there, Bryn?
Yeah, I'm here. I think the question is, when and where is precast required, really? I mean, but yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Residential and commercial zones, as well as residential and commercial uses, And some of you will remember we did that specifically because we had areas that were zoned residential, but maybe weren't residential yet.
Yeah.
So, and then, but precast would not be required between similar uses, obviously, right? So commercial or, you know, manufacturing next to each other would not require.
Precast. Okay.
Mixed use gets a little tricky. I'm thinking about even having a continuous fill, because if you go up 134 after you pass this area, you know, you have a ton of different materials along that whole street. So
okay, I just want to make sure we were clear on what the thoughts were there, because I know and I'll take the example of 5600 as you're going down. There's Tuscany in between. It's just north of about where Silvercrest is, and you have that precast wall on it, but then once you drive into that neighborhood, you have this big open park, and it opens up and it feels like it flows. And that's why I wanted to make sure I understood the reasoning or your thought process on wanting to revisit or look at this concept, because to me, the protection of between precast wall, and which is the protection between residential and if it's manufacturing or light industrial or commercial, makes a lot of sense. There's not a lot of areas where you're not going to put a fence between residential and those uses. And that's why I just want to make sure I understand where you're going with this for the staff to look at it.
Yeah, I know it's kind of difficult. I'm trying to think, like, I think it's Rosecrest Road, you know, that winds around. There's some really nice areas where there's townhomes and condos, large boulders, and a lot of nice landscaping that I think makes it feel more open and more friendly than, you know, precast wall along all of our major roads. And
well, we're not talking about major roads. We're talking about commercial, Brody.
Yeah. Just separating the commercial. That's why I want to make sure that if we have staff look at this, they know exactly what they're looking for.
Sorry. Yeah. I guess for me, it's more broad than just commercial and residential. It's like where we're going to say we need to put precast in more than just commercial and residential. I don't know if that, I'll collect my thoughts more on that, and I can send an email.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like, though, kind of like you were talking about, though, between residential and commercial, that's the only location really where there's precast wall requirement. Everywhere else, I think there's some latitude that we have to work with.
Yeah, everywhere else, I believe it's kind of up to that project. Like Harriman Village, for example, that the only reason they put a wall around the whole thing is they wanted to, because they wanted to have that exclusive fill. And so I agree with you. It is kind of sometimes confusing how it comes and goes. But I personally think we really need to enforce the commercial to residential, no matter what it is residential. That's why I voted the way I did, because it protects our community.
Brody, the only other thing I can think of is there are some roads where we have requirements for precast walls between the road and the residential there. And I guess that could be the one exception with boulders and other things like that you may want to do. The only thing is we'd have to have a pretty large amount of, area between the sidewalk and the homes to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's almost like if it's a planned unit development, it works a little better. Like, you know.
Yeah, that area that you're talking about, I mean, I know where it is, and it's 20 years old, so the landscaping there looks great, you know, along the Crest Road. One of the reasons that we added the precast wall requirement was because the Planning Commission kept wanting to requirement, but when it's not in the ordinance, we had a tough time enforcing it. So, and then if we give exceptions to everything, then everybody wants the exception. So it's really hard.
Bryn, the other thing up on the boulders area that I know they didn't require the wall up there.
Yeah.
Is because they put their garages. I remember this discussion when I used to work for the city staff. They put the garages for their storage units next to the property line, and they said that acted as the fence, and therefore it didn't make sense to have a precast fence in the back of the garages up around the Holiday Oil part. That's why they didn't put it right there, is there actually was a wall. It just wasn't a precast wall. It was a building wall.
Right.
Got that. Okay.
And Brody, I get what you're saying, because we talk about mixed use. You talk about mixed use. That's residential and commercial together.
Yeah.
And you've got that open fill. There's no barrier there. I mean, in this instance tonight, I agree it had to be there. But I do think, I think this is almost protecting like old planning habits, you know, the PUDs with the backyard against the, you know, where I think planning to the future, we need to work more on. I mean, we've talked more about walkability in general. And I think down the road, we can make it so, you know, I think down the road, we could change this ordinance back to where if we made it more walkable and it's more, we're not backyards, you know, it's maybe it's a front yard across the street from commercial, you know, to where it's planned better that way. I think that's where we can go.
And I think, I think too, Lauren, I think Harriman Town Center is going to be a good example of sort of what Brody's talking about, because we're going to have the mixed use, and we're going to have the commercial, and we're going to have the open park, and we're going to have more of an open walkability that goes into the neighborhoods. I think, I think as we plan communities, we can enable what Brody is wanting to accomplish. But when we have these subdivisions go in and they're as close to the road as they can get, and there's going to be commercial entities right next to it, I think the precast wall is almost protection for more of those type of units.
Completely agree, Chris. And so, that's what I'm saying. I think we're saying the same thing. I think there's just, we have to protect the older planning that's gone on in the city, whereas moving forward with some of more mixed use and more walkable areas, when we can eventually get away from precast, because I hate precast, to be honest. Like you said, it's a barrier that doesn't really have to exist. You know, it separates unnatural in a way, you know,
where
Well, I've always viewed it as interesting because I came from the East Coast and we don't have fences.
Yeah.
I mean, our backyards have no fences with our neighbors. And so you just have to mow in where your line is that you think it's supposed to be. But we also have a 1,000 trees. I mean, I had 18 trees in a fifth of an acre in my backyard. And so it's a little bit different, and different barriers that we can do. We're more in a desert, and it seems like fences and boulders are a little more what tends to happen. And so, but anyway, moving on, any other remarks here? Comments?
No. Let's meet in person.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Especially general plan discussion. Honestly, I think that's critical. I don't think we get the same dialogue over the computer.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's critical to try to, I don't care if we have to be in a bigger room and more spread out for work.
Lauren, I like your idea. Maybe we'll try to schedule a field trip. Maybe we all have to drive there separately and then stand out in an open field and have a conversation, but we'll see what we can do with that. Yeah.
I'm open to that. Absolutely.
Brand, this is Dave Murdoch. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. When you guys were talking, I lost audio. And I was trying to make, I wanted to make some comments and was, and I kept asking if anyone could hear me and no one could. I mean, there were some issues I think that I might have been able to offer up if I had been able to communicate, but I was not able to. I just went completely out and came back in. Now, evidently, I have audio again. But I would only ask one thing. I know I could hear what you were doing and you voted against considering it, but I had some options that I think maybe you would consider, and I would like to ask if maybe we could discuss those in the next planning and zoning meeting again, rather than just absolutely. Is that option still available?
So at this time, I appreciate some additional comments you want to make, but will you work with? City staff, a motion has been made, and I think the next steps, you can work with them to understand what those are and talk with them. But there's nothing else at this point that we can do with this particular item. And so we do
Can I come back with another, with a different proposal than the one that... And that's what I was prepared to discuss. If I had been able to communicate, I think that you would have, I think you would have been at least interested in hearing it. I didn't have the opportunity because I lost my audio and I couldn't get anybody's attention.
All right. So again, I'll just say work with city staff and they'll let you know what you can and can't do at this point. I think from at least the perspective of a lot of what was coming was just really where the ordinance stands and what it requires. And so, but definitely talk with city staff and they'll let you know what your options are. And then at this point, we do have future meetings that are Wednesday, August 26, 2020, which is a city council meeting. Thursday, September 3rd, 2020, it's a planning commission meeting. And then Wednesday, September 9th, 2020 is a city council meeting. And then just to maybe talk about sort of the layout of these meetings. So this isn't, we don't have public comments and a lot of opportunities for the developers and other individuals other than when they're actually talking about their specific item, which is right after the city staff talks about it. Individuals are allowed to speak during the public hearings where they come up and they voice their thoughts and their comments, and all of that is taken into consideration. We don't really have a format like city council where they allow everyone to just come up and talk about different items at a certain points. It's a little different format in the city planning commission meeting. And so I will look for a motion to adjourn at this time.
So moved.
I heard it from many of you, so I'll give it to Andy, and then all in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone.